morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's good to see your smiling faces. Amen. I'm just so grateful that I'm actually here. You won't believe what just happened to me. Quick story. Thursday night, I helped my brother lift a chair up. We bought a new recliner for my mom. And everything was fine. I reached down, grabbed it, put it in the house, and everything was good. Friday morning, I woke up to do my studies. And I bent over to get my Bible. And my back went out. And so I struggled the whole day yesterday and said, Lord, you take care of me. Amen? Yeah, we always pray, right? And so I went to bed last night. I did everything I could to massage it. My wife put hot treatment on my back. Went to bed and I slept really well. Amen? I got up this morning. I couldn't even get up, let alone roll out of the bed. In fact, at the point where I was crawling on the floor. This is a miracle. I'm here. This is truly a miracle. I was ready to call Pastor and said, I'm not going to make it. I know who didn't want me to be here. So I prayed. I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, this is your will. Send your mighty angels. Exit the demon of pain. Amen? You believe that? I'm standing in front of you. 2 hours ago, I wasn't able to walk around the house. That's how bad. And if you had a problem with backs, you know what I'm talking about. I was walking like a 100-year-old man. So praise God, I'm here. I believe God has a message for us this morning. And so I'm going to kneel by the grace of God. I have to kneel. It's only by God's grace that I'm here. So if you'd like, you can kneel with me so that we can pray that God will guide us through this service this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We humbly come before you on bended knees to worship you, to praise you, to claim you as our God and our Savior. This morning, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you will give us enlightenment that we might understand what your words bring, Lord, so that we can prepare for the times that we are living in this morning. And Lord, I'd like to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here. It is only by your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness that we are here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Guide my lips, my thoughts, my words. I pray, Father, that the words I speak will come directly from your throne this morning. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we may be accounted worthy, Lord, to be placed in that Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I had to take Tylenol this morning. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And I think I overdosed. Because I don't feel anything. This morning I entitled it, He is Our Refuge in the Storm. Are we living in a storm? Yeah. You guys are seeing it. What happened the last couple of days? People are thinking, well, you know, it will get better. We are in a storm. We're going to look at who is this that's going to be our refuge. Then I want to close with my defense in temptation. Who's not struggling with temptation this morning? We all are. We are all of us are in this storm. And I am truly sure that as we get closer and look closer to the Lord, temptations are going to arise. Amen? So let's turn to our Bibles this morning and look at the promises of God so that we can have an assurance that He is our refuge. Now, this is not something new I'm sharing. And by the way, it's 12 o'clock. So I hope you guys had a good breakfast. Yeah, I'm going to go to 1 o'clock. So, a good hour. But we all know that we are not living in normal times. But we can claim the promises of God today. And what I'm going to share to you and myself is that this is nothing new that's under the sun. I'm not giving to you folks anything new. You already know this. I'm just going to review it with you so that we can grasp the enormity of the times that we are living in and that we have hope. We have hope? Yeah, we have hope. And I'm going to claim that promise that He's going to give us hope this morning. So let's go to Psalms 46. And this is one that you're familiar with. I'm just going to go through it, set the stage, and then we're going to dive in a little bit further because I need to know, and you need to know, that we can claim God's promises if we obey. Amen? We have to obey. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. Dire straits. And my friends, we know that we are headed for troublous times. And they're saying, this is the first stage. The second stage is coming. The second stage is coming. But the scripture tells us that we have a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Verse 4, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I don't have time to dive into this morning on this particular chapter, but if you look at verse 4, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High is in the most holy place experience. The Bible tells us in Psalms 91 that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And my Bible tells me in Psalms 91, there's going to be pestilence. But verse 7 says, neither shall it come nigh thee. 1,000 shall fall on thy right hand and 10,000 on that side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High this morning? He is our refuge in the storm. He is our defense in temptation. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. You know that word, that right early? That means, are you getting up every morning? Rising up before dawn? He went into a solitary place, and there he prayed. In the morning, spending time with God. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdom were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Are you under the training of God this morning? White makes it very clear in Desire of Ages, page 363. She says this, and this is one you're familiar with, but I'm going to review it with you. I had to memorize this. I needed to memorize this. Because she says, all who are under the training of God need the quiet hour of communion with their own hearts. Not with other hearts, but with your own hearts. Are you in communion with your own hearts? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine your heart whether you are in the faith. So all who are under the training of God need the quiet hour for communion with their heart, with nature, country living. You have nature out in your backyard now? We live in the city. We need to be out in nature. So we're communing with God with our own hearts, with nature, and with God. In them is to be a life. In them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world and its customs or its practices. We're going to look at those three things. World, its customs, and its practices. Because the devil came to Christ in the wilderness to tempt him on those three points. The world, the appetite, and the display of worldliness. So we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. So the world, its custom, and its practices. And they need to have a personal experience. In obtaining the knowledge of the will of God. Obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. What is that knowledge that Ellen White is talking about? The knowledge of God revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. Let me say that again. The knowledge of God revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. In other words, are you born again this morning? So we need a knowledge, obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. My friends, if he's going to be our refuge in the storm, you have to know the will of God. And the will of God, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and John chapter 16, verse 15, is to be sanctified. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. Did you hear him this morning? I heard two amens. Did you hear him speaking to you this morning? Amen. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness, we wait before him. You know, I got up at 4:30 this morning, crawling around. And I pleaded with God this morning. Lord, I don't want to miss church today. Do what it takes, Lord, for me to be here. He spoke to me this morning. You have to claim his promises, my friends. We have to have this experience. Because we're facing a crisis. And unless we're having obtaining a knowledge and experience, we're going to fail. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness we wait before him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us be still and know that I am God. Are you under the training of God this morning? He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Why? Why should we be in the training of God? Go to Revelation. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. This is one chapter in the book of Revelation that you recognize. Why? Because we are living in this time. We are living it right now, my friends. I hope you can see this. I hope you're wide awake. Because, my friends, we have to be wide awake this morning. Revelation 13. Let's look at it quickly. And we know in verse 11, we know the first beast power of Revelation 13 is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. Verse 11 and on, it's talking about another beast coming up out of the earth, which is really the United States of America. Amen? 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 Great Controversy 440 says, it is America. It's the only... Let's look at it. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I got to share this now. Yes. Maranatha, page 193. Our nation, and only one, meets the specifications of this prophecy. It points unmistakably to the United States of America. Amen? All right. So that is said and done. We know that verse 11 is America coming up like a power. And what is he doing? She doing? He spake as a what? A dragon. Is he speaking like a dragon? And look at verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them to dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was, it says in King James, was, but it is healed. It's healed. Rome is back. He's back. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. So this second beast power is deceiving the whole world by the miracles. And we haven't seen anything yet. Which he had the wound by the sword and did live. So our nation, according to the Great Controversy, page 440, is saying that America is the beast power of that chapter, verse 11. Let me read this. Here is a striking figure of the rising growth of our own nation. And the lamb-like horn, emblems of innocence and gentleness. What kind of a horns now is it portraying now? Well, represents the character of our government, as expressed in its two fundamental principles. So this country is designed and groomed for two principles. What? Two fundamental principles, which is republicanism and Protestantism. The Lord has done more for the United States than any other country upon which the sun shines. Here, he provided an asylum for his people. Amen? Amen. We still have that freedom. We still have that freedom. But you know, it's coming to an end. Listen to this. He gave us an asylum for his people, where they could worship him according to the dictates of conscience. Here, Christianity has progressed in its purity. The life-giving doctrine of one mediator between God and man has been freely taught. So we still have that freedom to worship God. We're here worshiping. This is a blessing. here, Christianity has progressed. God designed that this country should ever remain free for all people to worship in Him according to the dictates of their conscience. He designed that its civil institutions, their expansive productions, should represent freedom of gospel privileges. It's available to all of us this morning. We still have this freedom to worship. Amen? Yes, He designed that its civil institution, their expansive production, should be represents the freedom of gospel privileges. But, here's that word, but the enemy of all righteousness has designed upon God's purpose for this country. You know that the devil has a purpose for this country too? He will bring in enterprises that will lead men to forget that there is a God. You know, in Maranatha, the month of July, it talks about how our nation will be cut off completely, will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. Our Constitution will be repudiated. You're seeing it. Wake up, everyone. And the enemy of all righteousness has designed upon God's purpose for this country. He will bring in enterprises that will lead men to forget that there is a God. Worldliness, covetousness, which is idolatry, will prevail to the working of the arch deceiver, till the law of God in all its bearing shall be made void. What does that word void mean? Done away with. The law of God will be void, null and void. It is coming. It says here, the law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void in our land of boasted freedom. Religious liberty will come to an end. Maranatha, page 193. You know this. I know this. I've read it. You've read it. But sometimes we need to go over it and over it, because as we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled on the TV, we have to wake up and prepare. Because she says here, when our nation in its legislative council shall act laws to bind the consciences of men in regard to their religious privileges. We know that Sunday observance is coming, and bringing oppressive power to bear against those who keep the seventh day Sabbath, the law of God, the law of God's will, to all intents and purposes, be made void in our land. And national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. Our nation is going to be ruined. We're headed for some crisis. But He is our refuge in this storm. Amen? He is. I want to read from Reflecting Christ, page 311. It says, a storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? She says this in 3:11, reflecting Christ, the perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. Already they have come. You know, sometimes when we watch things in the world, we expect, okay, this is happening, but I'll get more excited when I see something else more exciting happen. We're like the proverbial frog being boiled in hot water. And here we are, we're waiting for something else to happen. And then we'll move to the country. We need now the sword of the Lord to cut the very soul and marrow of fleshly lust, appetites, and passion. See, it resorts back to love of the world, appetite, and the love of display. Because those are the three things that the devil came to Christ. And a storm is coming. And inspiration tells us, minds that have been given up to loose thoughts need to be changed. Girding up the loins of your mind. Guarding those minds, your thoughts, your actions. Girding it up. Be sober. And set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience. Amen? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in the time of ignorance, but like as he who has called you is holy, be ye yourselves holy in all manner of living. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But here, inspiration is telling us to be sober, be vigilant, be holy. Why? Why should I be holy? Why? The thoughts must be centered upon God. Sometimes we get caught up in the news narrative and we tend to not look at what we should be looking at. We're dwelling too much on this narrative. My brothers and sisters, we need our thoughts being centered upon God. Now is the time to put forth earnest effort to overcome the natural tendencies of the natural heart. The natural tendencies of the natural heart. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Go with me quickly. First Corinthians chapter 2. Did I say second? First Corinthians. Are you there? Amen? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So here, Ellen White is telling us in 3:11 of Reflecting Christ, the thoughts must be centered upon God. Now is the time to put forth earnest effort to overcome the natural tendencies. What are the natural tendencies? By the way, what is the natural man? The natural man is an unconverted man. Yes? Well, let's look at verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. You know that word carnal? It also means unconverted. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? Walk as men? Are you still fighting? Are you still envying? Are you still strifing with one another? Because if you are, we're unconverted. And the thoughts must be centered upon God. And she says, now is the time to put forth earnest effort to overcome the natural tendencies of the carnal heart. He is our refuge in the storm. Continuing, 3:11. In Reflecting Christ, she says, our efforts, our self-denial, our perseverance must be proportionate to the infinite value of the object which we are in pursuit. Are you in pursuit? What are you in pursuit of this morning? I have to ask that myself. What am I in pursuit of? Because we have to look at our principle and our purposes. And I'm going to look at that in just a few minutes. Only by overcoming, as Christ overcame, shall we win the crown of life. This is reflecting Christ, page 311. Man's great danger, your danger, my danger, is being self-deceived. So how many of you this morning are deceived? Good, I don't see no hands. Are you sure? What does deceive mean? You don't know you're being deceived until you wake up. So man's great danger is being self-deceived, indulging in self-sufficiency. What does that word mean? That means I don't need help. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I needed God this morning. Yes? Man's great danger is in being self-deceived, indulging in self-sufficiency, and thus separating from God, the source of his strength. Our natural tendencies, unless corrected by the Holy Spirit of God, have in them the seeds of moral death. Go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God." And what? "Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ." The warfare, as the scripture says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a storm is coming, relentless in its fury. How are we to prepare for this time? You know, there's so much information out there, including in inspiration, that when I started to look at what I could present, I had so much information that I couldn't even focus on one, because the Lord, through that writings of Ellen White, has so much that you can't contain them all. Amen? She tells us this. In order to receive help from Christ, 3:11, reflecting Christ, we must have a true knowledge of ourselves. You have a true knowledge of yourself? That we are Laodiceans? Miserable? Miserable what? Poor, blind, and naked? It is he who knows himself to be a sinner that Christ can save. As Paul says, when he was going to the chopping blocks, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's why he could say, "I am now ready to be offered." Because he knew that when he woke up again, it'll be that glorious day. I strive for the prize of the high calling. The great apostle Paul, he knew that his life was going to end. But he had an experience that we need to obtain also for ourselves so that we can prepare for the storm that's coming. I have in Reflecting Christ, page 19. She says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world as an unwearied servant of man's necessity. He took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses, that he might minister to every need of humanity. The burden of disease and wretchedness and sin he came to remove. It was his mission to bring men complete restoration." Amen? That's what he came to do. He came to this world, this sin-sick world, to restore man back to him. Because we were wretched. We were made captive. We were all in bondage. And Jesus came. His mission was to bring men complete restoration. He came to give them health. Did you hear that? He came to give you health. There's sickness in this world. People are sick. But he came to give us health. He came to give us peace. I love that. Peace. You have peace in your heart? Go with me to Romans. You know this text too. I'm just going to remind you again. Review it. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service." That's why Jesus said in Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together. Let's talk about this." Jesus came to give us health, peace. Psalms 165, 130, it says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." He came to bring men complete restoration. And not only did he come for health and peace, but he came to bring perfection of character. My friends, he is our refuge in the storm. And Jesus came to bring you health, peace, and perfection of character. True character. Because there is a false character. True character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, Psalms 119, 152, and 172, righteousness is the law of God. So if we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the true principles of righteousness, the law of God, must be enshrined in our own hearts. We may proclaim the theory of religion. We can act like Christians when people are watching. But when no one's watching, are you a Christian? We may profess the theory of religion, but it is practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. What is piety? It's obedience to His will, devotion to His service. Practical piety. We may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. The consistent life. I brought this up before, but it's worth to review it this morning. We are in a storm, and God is our refuge and strength in the very present help in trouble. We may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. The consistent life. The holy conversation. The unswerving integrity. The active benevolent spirit. The godly example. These are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. And Jesus came to give health, peace, and perfection of character. You know what that means? There's going to be a perfect group of people on this earth that's going to reflect the character of Christ. When the character of Christ is what? Fully reproduced. Christ is longing with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. When the character of Christ is fully reproduced, perfectly, thank you, Jerry, perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come and claim them as His own. Jesus cannot come until there's a group of people that are going to be just like Him. Amen? And that's why He came, to give you health, to give you peace, to give you perfection of character. I was talking to a brother, not my blood brother, but a brother in Christ. And I told him one day the promises of God, that God will give you the strength to overcome. Well, he was tested 2 days ago at work. He was confronted by another co-worker in a manner which you could be tested in any way also. I could be tested that way. And so, the scriptures, you got to fortify your life with the word of God. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous word stirreth anger. Right? You have to memorize scripture. Because I'm going to show in a few minutes what is your defense in temptation. So he was confronted by another employee on a project that was requested, and it was the way, the approach of that other gentleman to my friend, they're both my friends actually, and it was the response of his words that made the difference. And I just so happened to be right here while they were talking right there, and it turned ugly in words. And after he came to me later, he says, "What should I have done?" I said, "Sometimes the best answer is no answer." You know, he confronted my friend. Again, they were both my friends, co-workers. And I told him, sometimes it's better to just say, "Okay," and done. It's over. But I found out there was a deeper implication there. And he didn't back down, and so I could see the controversy. And sometimes we don't realize that just because I go to church, that you're not going to be bombarded with temptation to react. Anyway, I talked more about it, about him, to him later, to encourage him that you can have victory over that. Amen? Yes, victory. The devil's going to tempt you and I. And he's going to use the situations where you're going to least expect it. But there is a defense in temptation. Jesus carried the awful weight of responsibility for the salvation of men. He knew, listen, he knew that unless there was a decided change in the principles and purposes of the human race, all would be lost. Unless there's a change in my life, your life, in your purposes, and your principles, all would be lost. You know, so I looked up that word. And these are words that you know, but I'd like to look at it just for a brief moment. Are you standing on principles this morning? Are you standing on truth-filled principle? Huh? In other words, are you grounded in this truth? Do you have a foundation that you're standing on? I shared a sermon on that, on the true foundation. Foundation that supports on assertion or of an action or a series of action out of reasoning. Principle. Am I standing on principle? The second word is purpose. Purpose means which a person sets before himself an object to be reached or accomplished. You have a purpose in your life. Daniel had a purpose in his life. Amen? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a purpose in their lives. In chapters 1 of Daniel, they purposed. They made up their minds. Have you made up your mind to take the vaccine? Don't go there, Eddie. Don't go there. I wasn't going to talk about that. But it's coming. Bill Gates just said the second phase is coming. And who is he? Who is this guy? Anyway, I won't go there either. Are you purposed in your heart this morning? We have to be purposed. Read the count in Daniel where the three worthies purposed in their hearts. They made up their minds. They knew that if they didn't follow the policy and procedure of the protocol, they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Jesus carried the awful weight of responsibility for the salvation of men. He knew that unless there was a decided change in principles and purposes of the human race, all would be lost. This was the burden of his soul. Why would he come to this sin-sick world of ours, the lost sheep in the universe? Why would he do it? He had 99 quadrillion other planets that are out there that never sin against him. He came to this world because he saw me. And he saw you. That's why he came. He didn't have to. But he came. The burden was in his soul. None could appreciate the weight that rested upon him. Through childhood, youth, and manhood, he walked alone. The devil was after him. He was faced with trials and tribulations day by day. Listen to this. Ellen White, page 19. Reflecting Christ. She says, day by day, he met trials and temptation. My defense and temptation. I'm going to show it to you. The life of Christ. He's going to show us how that we can have this defense in temptation. Day by day, he met trials and temptations. He was brought into contact with evil. And there's evil everywhere. Not only did he come in contact with evil, he witnessed its power upon those whom he was seeking to bless and save. Yet, he did not fail nor become discouraged. Amen? He didn't fail. And neither can we. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I'm going to show you how we can not fail. Not my words, okay? Because I don't have any words that warrant anything. I read what inspiration gives us. Amen? So how did he meet temptations? He day by day he met trials, he met temptations. Day by day he was brought into contact with evil and he witnessed its power. You seen the power of evil around us? All right, I'm going to show it to you. Not my words, inspired writings. Amen. So I pulled out my Desire of Ages. You guys got a Desire of Ages? Okay. You go home tonight, read it. Yes. So, he met trials and he met temptations. And I want to read what Ellen White tells us how he met up with the temptation. 118, Desire of Ages. 118. When Jesus entered the wilderness, he was shut in by the Father's glory. Stop. Period. I want to look at this. When Ron went into the wilderness, he was shut in by the Father's glory. You go read this word by word, you dissect it, you mark it, underline, underscore it, and meditate on these words. Sometimes we read through the chapter and we think, okay, I'm done. No! You read it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Amen? When Jesus entered into the wilderness, he was shut in by the Father's glory. You know what, my friend? We need to be shut in the Father's glory. This is our defense in temptation. Absorbed in communion with God. I can't say enough of that. Because my friends, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I gave my heart back to the Lord, after all those years being in the church, born and raised a Seventh-day Adventist, playing church, was never shut in by the Father's glory, never was absorbed in communion with God until I surrendered my life to Christ. Then you experience what that statement I read earlier. Obtaining the knowledge of God. That's what she says. Communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. In them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs and its practices. And they need to have a personal experience in obtaining the knowledge of the will of God. In other words, your experience with God. me finish. He was absorbed in communion with God. He was lifted above human weakness. But the glory departed and he was left to battle with temptation. It was pressing upon him every moment. His human nature. And we all have human natures, right? I don't have time to talk about human nature, but we have nothing in ourselves. His human nature shrank from the conflict that awaited him. Guess what? Conflict is awaiting you and me. We're going to have to make decisions in the next couple of months what we're going to have to do. Decide. You see, I'm still employed. When it comes down to push and shove, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to have to purpose in my own heart. You see, my friends, I was up in Washington State and I was talking to a group of church members up there. They're retired. They got their, you know, retirement checks, Social Security, whatever. I said, so you guys are set. You're already country living. So you're set. Life is good. So they cut that off. And we're all hoping it doesn't be cut off, right? Lord, help it to go back to normal so I can continue to receive my check. Or receive my check at work. This is the reality of it all, my friends. We're facing this. There's a conflict. But she says this. I'm not going to read all this. My time is running out. But I'd like to read the second paragraph. We know the story. He fasted for 40 days. And, right? No food, no water. Can you imagine that water? 40 days? Scientifically, can that be done? I can't. I got to drink water every day. But he did it, okay? The Savior was faint from hunger. He was craving for food. Now listen to this. When Satan came suddenly upon him, boom! He just came up, showed him. You know, Review and Herald, I think it's July 22, she says, In the wilderness of temptation, Satan came to Christ as an angel of light. It was by his, what? It was by his word and not his appearance that Christ knew he was the enemy. When Satan came, though he appears as an angel of light, the first words betray his character. If thou be the Son of God. You know the story. So what the devil did was shed doubt. Doubt. That's all it takes. Doubting God. Doubting his words. I only have 5 more minutes. I have so much to say. So he doubts, puts doubts in God's and Jesus' mind. Because he came suddenly. It's going to happen to all of us. Suddenly, the devil is going to appear in front of you, in front of me, whenever. And he could come as an angel of light. In another note, You could see who your enemy is when a pastor or someone that's preaching the gospel is adding doubt to doctrines. I had a book some guy gave me in Arizona, and it was on the Godhead. And I looked at the table of contents of the book. It's the size of a book of the enemy unmasked. same size, paperback. And my friend says, read it, tell me what you think. So I took it home. I never read it. I just put it on the side and actually found it later, and I said, I didn't read the book. So I pulled up the book and I started looking through the table of contents, and every chapter had the word if. If. I said, I don't need to read this book. Don't even waste your time reading the book. In Proverbs 19, it says, cease my son to hear. Cease my son to hear that causeth to err of the knowledge of the word of God. He appears as an angel of light. Yea, God has said, and she told Eve, he told Eve, that you can, hey, you better close that door. We don't want distraction. We want the Spirit of God in this sanctuary. Thank you. Though he appears as an angel of light, these first words betray his character. And what did Jesus? And what did Jesus do? Because he was being tempted with the question, if thou be the Son of God. You see, my friends, Desire of Ages 119. The Word of God was Christ's assurance of his divine mission. Amen? The Word of God, the Word of God, the defense in temptation is the Word of God. I want to prove that to you. Go with me to Proverbs. Proverbs. Remember this one. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word, how many words? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Wow. I love it. Every word. It didn't say some words. Every word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding even unto the simple. Every day we're going to meet trials and temptations. Every day we're going to be witnessing this power. And I'm not talking about a power that's coming from heaven. It's a power from beneath. Who would ever think that we're in 2021 and still fighting with COVID-19? That is a power from beneath. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're dealing with evil. Think you can handle it by yourself? But listen, he did not fail nor became discouraged. Why? He always was patient and cheerful, and the afflicted hailed him as a messenger of life and peace. He saw the needs of men and women, children and youth, and to all he gave the invitation. You know what was that invitation? Come unto me. Amen. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is these texts you're familiar with. I'm just reviewing with you this morning. Yes, Barbara. Sure. No worries. I'm sorry it was not taped because she can't hear you. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. What she said was, she knows a pastor friend that had his Social Security cut off. So it doesn't have to be down in the future. It can happen tomorrow. Today, you can get a mail. A mail comes in today and you open the letter and says, sorry, you're cut off. Or you could go after sundown, go and try to buy groceries at the store and run your ATM and decline. Yes. Now, hold on. I'm going to close with this. So we know that the beast power of Revelation 13... I better stand right here. The beast power of Revelation 13 is being fulfilled as I speak. We all know that, right? Because if you go with me to Revelation 17. Go there. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, look at verse 13. Are you there? These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the promise is there, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, I'm going to close with this last statement. This is in the Great Controversy, page 580. And you can see how this is all being orchestrated, right? As I speak to you this morning, the Roman Catholic Church, with all its ramifications throughout the world. I looked up that word ramification. It means the process of branching a small division proceeding from the main stalk or channel. That means there's branches throughout the world. Did you get that? All over the world. You wonder why is this governor doing this? Or why is this president doing this? Because they're all together in this. One mind, okay? With all its ramifications throughout the world, forms one vast organization under the control and designed to serve the interests of the papal see. So it's all orchestrated. Everything's in place. But God is good because He's holding the four winds. Amen? Revelation 7? He's holding it. He says, Eddie's not ready. I'm going to hold the four winds so he can get ready. Amen? We serve a loving God. He suffered long for me. Listen to this. I'm going to close with this. In its millions of communicants, I looked up that word communicants. It's one who communes at the Lord's table. That means they are partakers of the sacrament. Huh? All its millions of communicants in every country on the globe are instructed to hold themselves as bound in allegiance to the Pope. Whatever their nationality, huh? Or their government, they are to regard the authority of the church as above all other. Though they may take the oath pledging to the United States. Did you hear that? Though they may take an oath to hold the Constitution. I'm just adding that word in there. Pledging their loyalty to the state. Yet back of these lies bows the obedience to Rome. absolving them from every pledge inimical to her interest. It's done. It's over. God is just waiting for you and me. He's waiting for our character. And the character of Christ is what, Jerry? Perfectly. No? It's just that Christ is longing, with longing desire, for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in his people, then, and only then, I added that, he will come and claim them as his own. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. You know this gospel? This gospel, the gospel of Christ, is the law exemplified in character. In character. Huh? Thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral character. It is my prayer this morning that he is our refuge in this storm and my defense in temptation. Let us kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you this morning, praising you, thanking you for the privilege you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to have the freedoms we still have in this great country of ours. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to work in each heart, each life this morning, that you will place your love, your joy, your peace, because that's what we're going to need at the end, Father, to be like you, to live like you, and then to die like you. Oh Lord, forgive us where we have fallen short of your glory. We looked into your words this morning, Father. I pray that you will place it in our lives, that we will hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Please help us, Father. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Keep us faithful, Lord. Give us the strength that we can continue to look and live. We love you and we thank you for hearing and answering our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.